Well, you pet stylist, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hi, Susie. What's up today?
What's up today is we have a special guest. It's so doggone exciting. I can't stand it. I've been waiting for weeks. And after spending just days and days researching this lovely human being, I'm so excited to actually finally meet her. It's like meeting a legend. It's just awesome. So this episode is number 260 of the Groom Pod, and it's June 28th, 2020. I'm in Snohomish, Washington. Barbara's in Tucson, Arizona. And I think, Jennifer, you're in Philadelphia, right?
Yes, ma'am. I'm in Philadelphia, yes.
This podcast is brought to you by...
Yeah, and you didn't use Jennifer's last name. They might not know until you say her name.
That's because I haven't introduced her yet. I have a lovely introduction written for her, which I will do after I do this, the business ass part of the show.
Okay.
I want to introduce her in a big way. So, okay.
Aww, thank you.
All right. Here we go again. This podcast is brought to you by the listener's support and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Evolution Shears, The Absorber Towel, Stazco, and Cherry Brook. Speaking of The Absorber Towel, I want to tell you of a great offer they've given us. If you put the Groom Pod in their coupon code and it's the first time you've shopped at their website, they will give you 10% off. And The Absorber Towel is really a great technology, especially for mobile groomers, but really for everybody. It feels like a cross between a sponge and a magic eraser, and it's saving me tons of laundry time, space in my mobile. It really sucks a lot of that water off that I was dealing with just gathering in my grooming trailer, and it makes the dogs dry a lot quicker. I cut them in half so they're easier to wring, and I store them in a bucket full of vinegar, like a Tupperware with a top on it, and they're just making my life so much better. So if you guys are interested in testing out the Absorber Towel for yourself, you can go to dogloverstowel.com and put the Groom Pod in the coupon code, and you'll get 10% off on your first purchase. This week, we have a special guest who I am going to introduce right now. You probably recognize her most from grooming competitions, but today we're going to learn more about Jennifer Lee and her career. She has lots of awards to her credit, including Rising Star, multiple Best in Shows, and Best All-Around Groomer. She was a Barkley Groomer of the Year, and she's also won Congeniality and on and on and on. She's traveled the world competing with Groom Team USA, teaching and judging at shows. She founded the International Dog Grooming Academy, and now I Groom. Welcome to the show, Jennifer Lee.
Hello, everyone. Thank you very much for having me. And it is my great honor to be on the show, spending my lovely Sunday afternoon with you guys.
We really appreciate it. And like I said, we're very excited to have you here. So, Barbara,
thank you very much.
How was your grooming week?
Oh, my week was, it was hot and muggy in Tucson, Arizona. The monsoon season is here. That means that all of our swamp cooler options, which is all of my options, are a little bit on the uncomfortable side. So it was a sweaty week. Oh, God, I have a story to tell you that has nothing to do about dogs and everything to do about me.
Okay.
Is that okay?
We'll go with it.
So this is so typical of me. Jennifer, you will crack up because I have this reverence for life that it sometimes really astounds me. You know how sometimes you do something in your everyday life and you look back at it a moment later and you laugh because it is so you. So what I did this week, I saved a fly. Susie,
oh, wow.
I saved a fly. I was sitting there and I had a bottle of water next to me. It was Dasani. And this fly flew into my water. The day before, a couple of flies had flown into my water and they just buzzed around the top and then flew out. And I, so they, mm-hmm. I just, that was okay. This one landed in the water and couldn't fly out.
Oops. Aww.
So what do you do? It's a brand new bottle of water. It was the last refrigerated bottle of water.
Aww.
You know, so I very carefully tilted the bottle of water so that the fly just floated on the top of the water into a dish I happened to have there on the table that had a lip around the edge, a raised edge. So I put the water in the lower part of the dish, and then I carefully floated the fly to the edge of that dish where it could crawl up.
Did it shake it off and fly away?
It flew away. Oh God! Somebody another day. Oh my God! I saw the fucking fly.
You're so funny. Oh God! Yeah. Well, you saved a life. That was worth it. Yeah. That's a beautiful story.
Just my inner Buddhist. You know, my inner Buddhist rules a lot of my activities. So anyway, that on a more solemn note, I once again attempted to groom Willis, the incorrigible Scotty.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. And I once again failed. Failed again, you know, I did get an 8-minute video, but I'm having a hard time downloading it from the damn iCloud and sending it. I sent it to the people, but I don't think that they can watch it. But I had to document this behavior. And I had Yvonne there. That's another story. Yvonne is back and wearing her mask. Yeah, a real mask.
Okay.
Full mask. An actual, you know, cup size mask over face. I, of course, have the dog face mask on at work. You know, sometimes she can kind of calm him down and hold him and secure him that way. Because what happens is the more restraints I put on this dog, the more he goes insanely ballistic. I mean, if I put the groomer's helper on his chin and put the flank strap attached to the back pole, he will flip around, wave his legs, and somehow manage to get out of both restraints while screaming and biting. So I no longer hook him up that much because I've just promised him I won't do that again. But, you know, I on my own, she was able to pretty much brush him out, except she said there were armpit mats and something down inside the inner chest there area. I was unable to mess with that, and so I just said, well, I did an outside groom. He looks fine on the outside. He has a long...
You need to save your head. Yes.
He's a work in progress. So, and I was able to do the top line work. I was able to sculpt his shoulders, and I was able to do his tail real nice, so, and you get a nice back line. He looked good from the neck down, but I couldn't get near his head, and I very much wanted to clip his ears, but every time I would try to hold his ear and work with a clipper, he would go up off the table. So I got Yvonne over there, and we struggled with him for about 15 minutes, and then I gave up, put him up. And then an hour and a half later, we came back, and I said, I've really got to get this on video. Uh-oh, we just lost the beach.
Girls. That's okay. We can't see much of it anyway.
And now we reveal
the real
Barbara life. see what products you can name in mind. So anyway, we worked again for about 8 minutes, and then I gave up. And I got some part of the back of the ear clipped, but I couldn't edge the ears. I couldn't get the inside of the ear. I couldn't really do the tuft. I couldn't do the sides of his face. I tried with the scissors. I did whack out the sides of his eyebrow, but I couldn't get in between the eyebrows. It's horrible. And I've got 8 minutes of it on a video. Anyway, I sent them a text that they I have discussed with them at least two other times about the need for drugs. Mm-hmm. And somebody's going to take drugs, and it's not going to be me, you know?
Yeah, I totally understand. Well, you know, yeah, it is what it is, and we just have to do what we can do, you know? You just can't push everything, you know? It's just not worth it.
And Jennifer, Yvonne accidentally, I was going to charge them $80, plus I have to tip myself for these people. This guy,
absolutely,
the guy who brings the credit card doesn't believe in tipping, so I just added in there the $10. So I do that. So it was supposed to be $90, and Yvonne rang it up. I went home. Yvonne rang it up and accidentally charged him $105, and I said, don't worry about it. So, you know, they know my Scotty work because I worked on their previous Scotty, and they have other dogs. They have other dogs that I groom. It's a huge account of mine. It's big money, and so I can't just fire them and all three dogs. It would be too much of an economic loss. So I have to struggle along with this, but I sure do want to. I mean, some days I can get more done on this dog's face than others. And it seems to be those are days when I'm alone at the shop and there's no other anything going on in there. There's absolutely nothing else going on there. Just him and I. And then sometimes I can use my chunking shears and sort of scissor in the cheeks, etc., etc.
Didn't we have the medication talk with these people at this point?
I did have the
medication.
I thought
so. I thought I was remembering that.
You know, but here it is. You know how some things come and kind of trip you up. Last time their other two dogs were in, which was like 2 weeks ago, I accidentally nicked a quick on the Laza officer. She's old and crippled and fat and has skin problems and all this stuff. Anyway, I nicked a quick on her back foot, and I packed it with Quick Stop, and I put her in the drop-off pen to go home. Well, he came and he got her out of the pen and he took her to the car, and then he's calling me. Well, as on my way out to see what's going on, I look in the pen, it's full of blood. And so, you know, she got bloody in their Mercedes
SUV
with Mama, the matriarch, sitting in the passenger side. I said, oh, no. So I brought her back in, and I said, well, it's we have a toenail here that didn't stop bleeding, even though it stopped for while I was working on it. And I repacked it again, but, God, I was in fear that maybe it took off a mole or something else. I don't know. You know, I don't know what else I could have done that caused that much bleeding. But, you know, that kept me from, I didn't even remind them of Willis's appointment because I decided if they didn't want to bring him, I was okay with that. And so I texted the night before and reminded him of Willis's grooming and our agreement about medication. Now I have to talk to him seriously about I can't do him again without some kind of medical help, assistance.
Yeah, and I don't think CBD or anything in the natural.
He's going to overrun anything. CBD is not going to cut it with this guy.
I agree.
He needs drugs.
Okay, so yeah. Do you want to hear my story?
Yeah, are you back on the road?
No.
No,
but no. I went. I have a friend who has a wagon tails, 2004 mm-hmm. wagon tails, regular mm-hmm. the regular van, and she's retiring. And this is Sharon, mm-hmm. Barbara. Do you remember Sharon?
Right, I remember Sharon.
Yeah, She's only doing one dog every other day, just kind of because she loves grooming and she likes what she's doing. But she's basically retired. Her hands hurt. She doesn't have to work and she doesn't want to work. She's not driven like I am. Like, I'll die with the scissors in my hand. But so she's like on vacation. So everybody and their neighbors have offered me opportunity to use their vans or their shops or spots, you know, whatever. Everybody is so helpful in the grooming community for me, reaching out and letting me know that, yeah, it's so cool because one of the people who has a Hanvi van locally, she offered that up to me on Friday, Saturday, and Sundays. Oh, wow. It's beautiful. Wow. But I don't deserve that. I'm not going there. I can't be responsible for that. Not me. No, not me. So anyway, I decided that I would set up the two cats. The cats that the lady with MS has, I needed to do them. So I decided I would do them with Sharon in Sharon's van. But I also need experienced cat restraint help with the cats because they are not pleasant cats to start with. And they haven't been done for 6 months. They hadn't been done for 6 months. And they are, yeah, it was awful. So I asked Sharon to meet me there. And then I asked my other friend, Sharon. I collect Sharons. I have a few. So I asked Sharon and other Sharon to come with me to the assisted living so that I could get the cats done. So there were three of us in the back of the van with our masks on and the cats screaming. And one of them was just a shell. Now, in all the years I've been doing the cats, which is since 2014, I've never had to shave the cats ever because I keep them maintained for her. Well, it was a turtle shell. I mean, it was just awful. I had to shave. Well, I'm not sure if it's Faith or Hope. So we call them Faith and Hope or Hope and Faith. So I think this is Faith and Hope as opposed to Hope and Faith. One of them is a seal point and the other one is a calico. But very muted colors, so it just looks like a big brown cat, kind of. But you can see calico in the cat's face. But Himalayans with inches of hair and a lady who can't brush anymore and 6 months of not having the cats groomed. So it was horrible. The nails were into the pads, so I had to do a bloodletting on these cats. I felt horrible, but there was no way around it. And the cat's screaming, and there's blood everywhere. And one of the nails went through other Sharon's finger and out the other side, whoop, and then I got a hooked nail in me. Luckily, they reversed out as opposed to ripping them out. We survived. We did get the cats done. I nicked one, the one that we shaved with the 30 blade, just a little bit under the arm, but not anything horrible. But we went off to our second appointment, which was a Russell Terrier mix who has nail anxiety or used to have nail anxiety. And we went up and we did that one. And after that experience, I called my friend who has a portable grooming table and I'm just going back to house call. I love my friend Sharon and I know she doesn't listen to the podcast and we had a great time yesterday, but I felt really out of my element. I think I will do better if I just carry my stuff into the garage because it's not really house call at this point with all the virus stuff. I actually am going to have to groom outside. So I'll be your garage call groomer. and I might have to deal with some owner baths. You know, I don't want to go into their houses, but if they can provide me a decently clean dog, I'll haul everything into their garage or backyard or somewhere that I'm not enclosed in an enclosed space with them. And I will continue to groom the little dogs and the big dogs will just have to wait till the trailer's done, which, you know, they did move it. I saw they moved it. I was pretty happy about that.
What is the status of the trailer?
It's still in line. It's in line. The first available date is July 20th. That was the way they could promise it to me, that it'll be that day that they for sure work on it. But they'll fit it in earlier. It's not a long fix. Like, I could have taken it somewhere else and maybe gotten in sooner. or brought it home and worked in the front yard until the 20th and then towed it up there. But I opted to leave it, and I trust these people, and it is my wheel. I mean, it does hold me up, so I do want it done really well, and it's worth waiting for them. So I opted to wait for them. But what the heck? Another adventure. I loved House Call Grooming. It's fun. I'm going to do it.
Right. Well, you've done it before, so you're in good shape for that move.
Yeah, and I put together a whole kit of stuff yesterday to go into Sharon's van because I just wasn't sure what she had in there and what she didn't have. And you like your own stuff. I like my own stuff. So I brought my little travel kit with me, and I packed it full of everything. So I really only need to decide if I'm bringing a bathing beauty with me or not, because I can. It's just throw it in the back of the car, and then I can do some of the bigger dogs in the bathtubs if they really want me to. But I don't know that I want to kneel on the floor and do a bunch of that. So I'm kind of going to limit it to the smaller dogs. But I've got my groomer's helper with me, so I'm going to try to do Edgar the nail trim dog without my lip system. Like Sharon on her table, she just has two grooming arms that come straight at you, one on either side. I've never felt like lack of control over dogs. I mean, I'm glad I only did the one little dog, and she's not a spinner, but she did back away from me the whole time. So I was leaning over the table. I'm just not used to that. I like my own stuff where I can keep the dog on the table next to me instead of on the back far side, and where my grooming arm goes over the top, not point straight at me. It was just weird. Weird. Anyway, I'm looking forward to doing a little bit of grooming and then continuing on my waiting plan as I learn to be patient and wait for the trailer to get back. And my people are all great. They're all being patient, but it's still adventures in mobile grooming again. Life with other groomers in your space and a vet tech and screaming cats and bloody nails.
So, yes. Jennifer, what's happening in your life? Did you get your warehouse?
Yes, we are actually still in the middle of a moving. You know, it's a warehouse with, like, you know, it's like the equipment, like it's these equipment that we're using. They're huge. So it's obviously, I think I told Susie we're not going to be done at one time. And we got like partially done, like some boxes, like old. But yeah, we are keep moving. But the deadline is, I think, 15th of July. So we don't have many days left. Yeah, it has been crazy. And it was hot and like humidity here and the traffic. Like I live in city. Our warehouse in Jersey, but we still have to go through that horrible like traffic. Like the traffic is getting worse this day. It's like not like, you know, like 2 weeks ago was like there's no car on the road. And basically that's what I have been doing, like every single day working at warehouse, packing, moving, and still making things and just packing and just that's it. Yeah, like now I don't even want to look at the boxes anymore. But that's the only thing that I have been doing, just warehouse work, moving, packing, making. Yeah, and listening complaints.
I hate movie.
Yeah. All right. Well, how about if we take a little break here right now and we hear from our sponsors, and then we come back with our first and only appointment, which is all about Jennifer Lee. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shots Innovative Systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right. so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some best shot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. Hey, Jennifer. In my studies, I read that you were actually born in South Korea. What was it like?
Yes, ma'am.
What was it like living in South Korea? Did your family have pets?
Yes. My parents, they were living in U.S. And I was born in South Korea. But my mom and dad, they were working in U.S. that time, which was like a long, long time ago. They were here. They immigrated here as a student that time. So they had to work, so they just let my grandparents took care of me until I was 13 years old. So while they work and they established their life here, and then after that, yeah, they invited me to U.S. But anyway, so my life in South Korea was wonderful. I only have great memories and loving memories. I was very spoiled, rotten kid raised up by my grandparents. Yes, I was. I was like one and only child. I mean, like no one else, just me. So I was just, it was just wonderful. And that time, you know, nothing was so like everything was like so technology, you know, like driven things like neighborhoods, friends, family, gathering, all that kind of stuff. So, yes. And if someone asked me, like, would you like to go back to your childhood? You know, not like, I wouldn't even think a blink, not even a second. Yes, I would go back. And like, because like my life, it was just so beautiful. Like flowers and like trees and like, it was good. Yeah, I was very lucky. Yeah, I had a great parents. Yeah. I mean, like, great-grandparents.
So you were a Korean princess.
Yeah, well, no. No. Look at me. Do I look like a princess? Not at all. But I was just very fortunate that and my grandparents, they were, you know, just loving me, like, without any, you know, like, just they just loved me. And,
Did you have a dog?
Yes, actually, I did have three dogs at one point in my life, which was actually like, it was very unexpected. I shouldn't say it was like a gift, but like my aunt, one of my aunts, like her friend's dog, like had a few puppies and they needed home. And like they just gave me three dogs, like, you know, because they heard that, oh, Jen loves dogs, puppy. So, oh my God. And I was such a like animal lover from when I was young. And I'm like, oh my God, I'll take those dogs in a heartbeat. One of them was actually handicapped. I still remember. And I took my three puppies and I would give up all my milk and everything, but was feeding my puppies, you know, took care of them, like, you know, just my everything, like my gemstone. But one day, one day after I came back home, I found out my puppies were gone. Yeah. Wow. And yeah, I was devastated because I was living in this like Seoul, like, which is like really dense, packed. Like it's really like, you can say like it's Manhattan, very dense, lifestyle. It's house is like not like here, like, you know, you have like a huge yard and all that. So having three dogs was just too much. But just my grandparents just decided to just let them go to they said it was a great family and stuff, but I was so depressed. Like I actually ran away. Like, you know, I was like I think 8-9 years old, and I wrote like a letter to my grandparents, and you know, I can't handle this, I'm leaving home. And then of course I went back home like a few hours later, but I still remember my three puppies. They were mutts, they were nothing like purebred, but I love them so much. Yeah, but that was one and only like the time that I had I actually lived with puppies, yeah, when I was in South Korea.
What did you want to be when you were a little girl? What did you think you'd be when you grew up?
I wanted to be a doctor because my mom has some physical issues. And my grandmother always told me, you need to study really hard to be a doctor so you could cure my mom, your mom. So, yeah. But look what I'm doing right now. I became a doctor. Yeah.
So then at 13, you went over to the United States to live with your parents. And where was that?
It was in New York City, Flushing. I don't know about that area, but it's really multicultural city. It's just very dense, populated city area. Yes, but again, like when I came here, of course, I couldn't speak any English, you know, and everything was new. I had to learn everything from the scratch. Like only thing that I could say was just hello. That was it, you know. Thank you, you know, and learning whole like new language and like different cultures was just And I came here at 13 years old, which is like, you know, still young, but still I was going through the like teenager time. So it was just, it wasn't easy, but you know, I had no choice. I had to go through it. So, yeah.
Did they put you in public school?
Yes, they did. Yeah, I went to public school. I went to public school and I lived in Flushing, New York until I graduated high school. And we got opportunity to move to Philadelphia, and I went to college there, and then my husband Alex there, and then we are living in Philadelphia ever since. So,
what did you study in school?
I didn't have like a particular major, but later on I wanted to get into medical, and I studied some of it, and then I found out that I was pretty talented with the computer science. So, yes, and I was learning that pretty actively and and my husband, he's in a computer business too. Now he's like all into this like iGrum thing, but his majority of his business and life was like computer thing. Like he was building the network and all that kind of stuff. And everybody thought I was pretty talented with the writing and stuff, like computer writing. So. That was my ultimate goal to be, into that field. But somehow, like, I became a groomer. So I think it's like, it was like a destiny. It's just very, I think in a way, I feel like we are destined, you know, like to be someone and to like, to do what God give us to do. I don't know. Like, because I never thought about I would be a dog groomer. I decided to learn grooming as a hobby. Actually, I had three dogs. I had two Yorkies and one Maltese, and I couldn't find a dog groomer that I was very like satisfied. And I was not a really picky customer at all. I just want like a short kind of like. Short trim around the body and just cute little around the face, but no one was really satisfying me. And then I was trying out some few different groomers around the town, and then the last groomer I went to, oh my god, my dogs were really super cute. Like, oh my god, like they were like so like really cute dogs. But I told her to just make them cute, short and cute trim, but she completely shaved my dog, all of my dogs, like made them like chihuahuas.
Oops.
I mean, I swear, yeah, I even have pictures. Yeah, like she, I don't know what happened to her. She just literally shaved all my dogs, like from head to tail, like everything. And believe or not, I still tipped her $25.
Oh my God. Oh, man.
But, yeah, I know. But I guess I was shocked, but I still like appreciate her service. Like, what could I do? I just cried, and my husband was like so upset. Like, but you know, and that was the point. Like, you know what? Maybe there's something that I could do, because I tried about 2 years to find a good groomer, and then I always like I was kind of always handy making stuff from my head. So I'm like, you know, maybe there's something that I could do. So. I did research about the grooming school, and I found a school in New Jersey, and it was a 1 month course of school, and I went there and I did an interview, and 1 month,
And oh my gosh.
The principal told me that, oh, after a month later, you're going to be able to do like Bichon short trip. Like, you'll be able to do like a poodle short trip. So, and like, I didn't know nothing about dog grooming at all. And I believed into it. And it's like, you know what? Let's do it. I enrolled to school. And yeah, and I was, but you know what? I was still like learning quite quickly than any other people there. And they said, oh my God, I have like very like talent in grooming. And then they started to encourage me, you should be a dog groomer and blah, blah, blah. And I started to believe in myself, like, oh my God, maybe I'm like super really talented. So the truth was I could barely like cut the dog's nail correctly. But anyway, yeah, that's, and then they were like encouraging me, you should be a dog groomer, you know, you are so talented. And they even like hooked me up with the business owner around the place that I was living, and like, oh, you should work for her. But the reality was actually they needed an employee, you know. But yeah, they're just hooked, like, just kind of like, you know, just made me feel like I was so talented, so I should have just worked for her. And after a month later, it was just like kind of like someone was like pushing me to do that, you know. Not, I had a choice to make, you know. I was doing what I was doing, computer stuff and helping my business, I mean my husband's business and stuff, so I didn't have to. But you know what, and I really liked the fact that I was working with the animals. It was fun, you know, like it was, yes. It was just like, you know, it was tough, but still it was so much fun. So yeah, and then I like, you know, sure, I'll give it a try with working at the grooming shop. And but she was the owner of the grooming shop. She was really, really nice, and she offered me a lot of new techniques and things like that. And she, and I was learning, actually grabbing really quick too. And she's like, oh my God, you are so talented. Like, you are so good and blah, blah, blah. Okay. Like, I was like so spoiled, like child, like, oh my God, I'm so talented. Every day after work, I told my husband, I'm so talented. Like, I am so good. And then my poor husband believed into that. His name is Alex. He's like, oh, my wife is so talented. Okay, so she's so talented, so let's open the grooming shop. So he found, yeah, and he's also a realtor too. So he found a place like in Center City of Philadelphia, and then it was just really close to his business. So we opened the shop, and we were expecting, oh my God, as soon as we opened the shop, we are going to be like so busy, like we'll be like flooded with the customers. That's what we are expecting, you know, like it was, that's what we are hoping for. I mean, that's what we actually like believed into it. But the reality was, we didn't even have one customer, you know, like that was, and I was for half year, I was just watching the DVD there doing nothing. But and meantime, I was going to the doggy park and like flying and sending out the flyers, like, just introducing my shop. But you know what? And we are so naive that, because like my poor husband, he was like, oh, he just believed into like what I was saying, that I was so talented. That's why he decided to open the shop. But we didn't do the enough like research, like around what's going on around the Philadelphia area, how many grooming shops and who are the actual groomers. We didn't do any like research on that. And that was really very brave, but the shop were there, and we had, yeah, I had no choice, like, and we had to moving forward, but no customers. So I was sending out the flyers and things like that. And but you know what? Harsh reality was, the customer just didn't come, like, because like they wouldn't believe, like they wouldn't trust me, like who are you, you know? And then I the reality just kicked in my brain. I'm like, okay, you know what? There's something that I really have to do something about. I have to learn. I have to improve myself. I only have a few customers, and they were, I think, very unsatisfied with my grooming that time, because the groomers around there at that time, there are a few really good, really like very stylish and like super good in finishing. And like, you know, like who would want to come to me? And there were a few of them, like did try me and they were really unhappy, even though I thought I was super talented. So, but yeah, and I, you know, I decided to learn, I decided to improve myself. And then I watched some of the dogs and the at doggy park that, oh, was like really nicely done. And I started asking around the people who groom your dog. But people are like, you know, they wouldn't tell me where they were taking those dogs to. Yeah, they didn't. So, but I didn't give up either. So I said, you know, I kept asking and asking who groom your dog, you know, and then, there was a one dog walker. He told, because he saw me like I wouldn't give up. Like, you know, I was like, he was maybe thought like I was just, yeah. I'm like, you know, if I don't tell her, she's just keep bugging me. So he told me, and he got me his number, and I called him, and I, his name was Rob, the groomer. I called, and he's, and I told him that, oh, my name is Jen Lee, and I work at the, this grooming shop, and I would like to learn from you. And I left a message, and am I going too long?
No, Barbara's going to go put her dog up because he's barking.
Okay. I mean, if I go too, yeah, I mean, like, the,
no, I'm loving this. Yeah. This is great.
Yeah. So he and I left a message and then he didn't call me back. And I called several more times and he didn't call me back. And I understand, you know, he's like, who are you? You know, I'm not going to teach any competitor. You know, if I were him, I wouldn't be like, you know, like, what is it? Like, I'm not teaching anyone else. Like, who could compete with me? But I, you know, and one day I'm like, you know what? I have to be more sincere because I didn't want to give up either. I'm like, I had like so much passion about learning. Like, oh my God, I need to improve myself and I need to prove to my family that I, you know, that I was still very talented and I wanted to save the business. So, yeah, so I didn't give up. I kept, you know, I actually kind of like left another like voice message to Rob that, you know, how sincere I was about learning and passionate about learning. And he called me back.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he called me back. And he said, okay, that, you know what, sounds good. I can take you in and I can teach you, but one condition. I'm selling my house, I'm moving to Germany, and I have to sell all my cages and blades and all that kind of stuff. If you are promising me you're going to buy all my stuff, I'll teach you.
That's a good deal. That's a really good deal.
Yeah, and you know what? Actually, at that time, I still my business. I didn't have enough products and all that things too. Like, enough, like, just, like, it was, we had everything, but I couldn't have more, you know?
Like, yes.
Yeah, like cages and all this. I, you know what? I told him, I'll take it all. I never, like, seen it. I mean, like, we don't even know each other. I'm like, Rob, I'll take it all. What's your address? I'll be there.
So, yes. Are you still in the same location?
Yes, I'm still at the same location. Yes, and that was 2005, I think, 2005. So
that's good.
Yes, we have been there ever since, like 15 years now.
Were you the only, did you start out an only groomer or did you have it set up? Yes.
Yeah, I was, yeah, I mean, like, we had no business at all. So I was one and all, I was bather, I was groomer, I was doing everything there. So, yeah, and I got hooked up with him and I got to learn until he left to Germany. But he was, and actually we became a really good friends, like Rob and I, Alex, we actually, you know, started to hang out personally. And then he felt sorry for me that, like, you know, oh, I can't give you, you know, my lessons anymore to you, because he saw my passion. I was super passionate about learning and I like, and
oh heck, I'm sure he saw your talent is what he saw.
So he said, okay, you know what, I have my mentor too that I can introduce my mentor to you before I leave.
Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
And guess who that was? She was a Sally, Sarah Hawks.
Oh,
Sally. Yeah, she was in Delaware. So I contacted Sally and introduced myself to her and said, I am a Rob's student. And then he got me your number for the continuing education. Would you take me as a student? And she was so cool on the phone, like, sure, come on in. And I drove there like in a heartbeat. And then I introduced myself to her. And then I told her that I'll be more than happy to go drive down to Delaware once a week and then like practice and learn and all that kind of stuff. And which was like, I think one of my biggest turning point of my career life, because she's the one who introduced me to grooming contest career and opened up the different side of the world in grooming industry. So I was very fortunate for that. So yeah. And then on and on and on, like, you know, and then I, drove to Delaware once a week, I think almost 2 years. Yeah, almost 2 years. And then also meantime, I got to meet a lot of great like show handlers and started to go to dog shows and go, and then starting to learn more different kind of breeds for the contest. And like, and that like there were days that one, like on every Thursday, I'll go down to Delaware. And then every Monday, I was going down to Maryland, learn about Cockers, maintain about Cockers. And on weekend, I gave up my personal business, and then, but I would follow the show handlers, go to dog shows, and, you know, just helping them and learn and all that kind of stuff. So it was tough. To be honest with you, it was tough. And I had to give up a lot of my personal life, too, just for learning. And I had to work and learn and follow everywhere, like, but you know, after all the hardships I went through and experienced, that became my solid knowledge, you know, and I think that made me part of who I am in this industry. So yeah. And I met a lot of great mentors along the way, and they know me that sometimes I can be very patient. I do not give up easily. Like if I want to learn something, there was a one time at the show, it was like in a room years ago. I wanted to learn how to do Bichamps. I want to talk to Barbara about the Bichamps too. But anyway, I wanted to learn how to do the Bichamps neck. And then one, what was her name? Julie, she passed away. Julie, she said, oh, I'll get back to you. Hold on a second. Just stand there. I'll get back to you. And then she didn't come back, but I stood there like 3 hours just waiting for her. And then, but yes, she did, you know, she did teach me, and she was like, wow, you are something else, huh? Yes. And
So you hit the competition ring running. You have so many awards and accolades, and it is so impressive. What's your favorite part about competing?
Well, my favorite was to really, like, every time I compete, I felt like I was improving. To me, the grooming contest was more like not only proving myself, like, that I was talented. Just joking, you know that, right? But it was like my inner fighting, like my fighting inner, like, inside of me, like, oh, I am going to accomplish this. I am going to, like, one day, like perfect this. Like, for instance, like even the puru chest, like, oh, one day, you know, there's no perfection in the grooming. It, maybe there are. I've met any perfect grooming, but, you know, but that was my hope and my passion. One day, you know, like, I'll be able to, really understand. Like, I was very, like when I'm learning, I'm very, I don't know. I think a lot.
Analytical.
A lot of ways. Yes. It was, to me, it was like very, like, inner,
challenging yourself.
Yeah, myself. Yes, exactly. Yeah, I was challenging myself to prove to myself, I should say. And I, you know, of course, there were times that I felt like, oh, what am I doing here? Like, you know, spending, like, because it was expensive hobby, you know, you have to give up big part of your life to go for that grooming contest. And especially if you're on a team, if you're going for the team, that's like, that's your major life. And, but you know what, that was my biggest challenge, like, going through that, my own challenging thing. But the best part of it was I improved myself. Like, still I'm learning, you know, like, that, like, to me, like, learning is never, there are limits for that. It's like, you know, and I still, like, I got connected with this wonderful groomers from Facebook, and I tell them, oh, if I ever go to your country one day, would you give me a private lesson for certain breed? Because I love to learn. I love to be, I don't know what I'm going to do with all these knowledges, with the grooming, but you know what? I love to learn. I love to satisfy myself, I should say, really.
I get the feeling you like teaching, too.
Yes, I do. I mean, like, I got really, I feel super, like, joyful when I see it, because I was like that. I was in their, like, on their boat, and I totally understood, because I was one of the person, like, super eager to learn, like would give up everything just to learn, to understand what I was doing. So, I understand what they're going through, and when I see them, like, when I teach and I see them, they get the aha, that moment, I get, like, goosebumps. I get like, oh, you know, this is something that I should be continue doing. And I think people see that too. And I do not hide my knowledge. It's like, when I have opportunity to teach someone, I let it out. I let people know. And I, you know, and sometimes I'm like a tiger mom, like, you know, Asian tiger mom, like, but I do my best, try to let them understand.
Hey, speaking of show season, did you see my before and after pictures of Pee-wee, the Maltese, and my magic makeover?
That was quite a transformation in that coat. Oh my gosh.
Somebody said it just like I had thought it. It looks like he sleeps in the fireplace.
Yeah, what is up with that?
Well, I don't know, but that dog gets black like that a lot. He's the dirtiest Maltese I've ever known. This guy's coat is porous, and that dirt just climbs up his legs. I mean, he was just black.
What did you use?
Show season grind time, girl. It's the magic wand for really dirty dogs. She used the grime time, and then we rebathed with the show season bright.
It's remarkable.
It's a remarkable product.
If you guys would like to get your hands on a tub of Grime Time or some Show Season Bright or any of the wonderful products, you can find them at showseasongrooming.com. You can give them a call at 678-382-0218. They're also at many local distributors like Cascade Grooming Supply, which is my local distributor.
So I have a question. I hope this isn't too tender, but I'm curious how your experience of being Asian fit into your grooming career. I know you've often been the only Asian in the room.
Yes, there were years, many years.
In fact, I think I first saw you. I saw you in your early days of competing, and I thought, "Oh, yay!" But how did you experience being Asian and coming into the grooming United States grooming world?
First of all, I think we speak one language, you know, like as far as the dog grooming, you know, the grooming, it's a language, and we work with dogs. So that's the same basic that we have. That's the same foundation we have. For being an Asian, did I feel any difference here? No, the people were, of course, when we are competing, we are competitive each other, but still people are welcoming and they would be very supportive and care for you if there was an issue, you know. So I didn't feel any, you know, and those were, you know, not all the time, but quite fair.
Your talent shone, and it couldn't be denied, and you were welcome. And I'm really happy to hear that you didn't experience any overt racism due to being
white. No, not at all. I
think we as an industry can celebrate with you on that. You know, I think in some respects, I think the grooming industry is very welcome of diversification.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was very fortunate one that I'd be able to travel all around the world, you know, as a judge and speakers and things like that. And, you know, it doesn't matter where I go, South America, Asia, or North America, I mean, like Europe, we are just, you know what, to me, the groomers are groomers, doesn't matter wherever I go. We speak same language, grooming, and we love to help each other, share, and yes.
I've got a question. Since you have traveled all over the world and you've taught over all over the world, I was curious, does the Asian culture approach grooming versus the way the American culture treats grooming?
First of all, we treat our teachers different. We treat our teachers like Asian education is more like in a more form, we have to follow the rules. I mean, of course we do here too, but in Asia, it's more like teachers are God. Like nowadays, it's less, but when I was young in South Korea, learning, teacher was like, God, you do not listen, mm-mm, you're going to be in trouble. So as far as like everyday grooming, I don't see much difference of what we do here in Asia. But at school, how we learn and like the education system in grooming school is more systematic. And they like to learn a lot of more like theological stuff, like more. But other than that, like there isn't much difference. Like, yeah, just then like U.S. or Europe or.
Yeah. All right. So here we are. We've talked about the grooming you. Now let's talk about the entrepreneur you. Tell me about how you decided to start iGroom and that whole story, because that's really where we want to get into it.
Okay. Well, hope I do well. I always, like from when I was young, always very interested in cosmetic, hair care, skin care, color cosmetic. Although I do not, you know, do a lot of makeup, you know, I like to hoard the make like cosmetic stuff. I love to go to like Sephora. Yeah, I every time I go to Sephora or like a department store, like cosmetic, I get like, oh my God, it's like this the place I can be holding off. I love like trying out. I just love colors, scent. I love it. And like there were times that I was hoarding like lipsticks, like all different kind of red lipsticks, like, you know, hair care was always, I was more into hair care. And I think it's because of two reasons. First of all, I have a very bad hair. And like, yeah, no, seriously, because I think it's my genetic. I get this gray hair from when I was really young. So I had to color my hair like every, like almost weekly basis. And like my hair is like really dried and damaged, like really horrible. Like if I do not use a good conditioner, I cannot detangle myself. Like, oh, it was really, really bad. It's nasty. So I was always like looking for some good products to try this, try that. And also, the fact that I was doing contest grooming and also, you know, dog shows, because dog shows is all about making the dog look good. And the coat, hair coat is a big part of it, you know? So, you know, but you know, you are not always fortunate one that will be getting a perfect coated dog. So like, you need a lot of times like, you know, product help, support to make the dog look good. You know, that after all, we want to win. So we do anything to win. And the cosmetic, yes, products were a big part of it. So I was always searching and trying this and that. And I was every time I travel the world and I ask, oh, what do you have there in Brazil? Anything good? I'll bring it back, try it. You know, anything in Europe, I bring it back. So, and you know what? After I tried so many, like zillion different kind of products, I was like, maybe like, and I wanted to put like my like opinions into the product, like if I could use this product from Europe and that like I don't know nothing about ingredient at that time, but that function from the Brazil to here, and maybe like something from Asia to here, and make one product. How? And then that's how like, that would be so lovely. I was always just thinking myself, that would be like so perfect to, you know. And then I told my husband, you know, I was like, oh, it would be so nice if I can, you know, we can do something like, you know, like just my pad, you know, like new kind of idea of like, you know, business and all that. And then he's like, oh, no, too many shampoos out there. Don't even think about it. So, but it was just keep lingering in my brain. Like, oh, every time I watched out, oh, it could be better here, could, you know, do, like make something different. And, but I don't have a chemical background, not at all. So, we just talked about that. But one day we were driving from, I think, New York City, and then somehow we were like, I don't know, my husband at that time was like, oh, you know what, if you are really serious about doing your shampoo thing, let's think about the business name. And we're talking about like few options of name, and I'm like, you know, what about iGroom? And he's like, oh, that sounds good. But that was like, you know, that I think I, you know, ever since iPhone was launched, I think it was probably was taken, you know. We didn't expect that we'll have iGroom. But that night after we came back home from New York and he did research, and iGroom was available from trademark, and actually was 2 weeks apart from a trademark expiration date. So, my husband is like, wow, the iGroom was actually available to take. And he was very excited because, you know, we love the name and we took the iGroom. So imagine if we, you know, like search the name like 2 weeks prior or 2 weeks after, we wouldn't ever know that. So it was just like, I think, meant to be, like destined to be, you know. And we got the name, so we registered name like everywhere.
Had you made any shampoo at that point at all?
Oh no, we were just still struggling with the name.
I love it.
Just the names. Yeah, like we're just, yeah, that took quite a while.
Okay.
You know, yeah. And then like we were checking like iGroom, like the website name, like and iGroom was actually available for sale. I mean, there were actually a person like willing to sell that name. So, you know what, it was expensive, but I thought it was very important to get that name if we really were serious, you know, wanted to do this. So, you know what, so we got that name, so we register iGroom everywhere, like all around the world. And then we got the iGroom.com. Okay, now what are we going to do with it? So, and I, you know, I do not, Barbara, if I knew you that time, I would contact you, but I had no clues. So again, like I had this just concept in my brain. That was the only thing I had. I had this, like the notes that I have, oh, it could have been this, you know, just my thought, my opinions. But you know, I didn't know where to start, but, you know, I did research about like, you know, how to get into this and all that. And like I was super, super fortunate to meet my our chemist that we work with. She's incredible and she hates me many, many times. Oh my God, like she actually, yeah, she hates me. Like I think big part of her hates me, but we get along and she, yeah. And then we, yeah, and I told her my concept, and I told her what I wanted, like, you know, like, and like she, and then she started to create, you know, first project of shampoo, and that was how the charcoal keratin was born. And like, because that time we wanted something more like not too functional products, more for more general, like with the more moisturizing and good cleansing power and things like that. So yeah, so that's how I got into this whole thing, I should say.
So,
yeah, and
so I want to graciously thank you for the box of samples you sent
and
tell you how much I'm enjoying them. And it was really funny. I told Barbara the story, but I opened up and I sprayed one of the colognes. I'm sure she told you that I love the colognes. I sprayed it. And when I smelled my shirt the next day, I realized it smells just like the Lotus Spa on a Princess cruise ship. It was amazing. And it really just encapsulates the spa feeling, I think. So yeah, everybody's loving it. Barbara, don't you just love the samples?
Oh yeah, I love the samples. I'm loving the products. I'm enjoying. In fact, yesterday, and you know, I'm not a actual dog cologne or dog perfume person. In fact, I've been highly critical about that whole trend. However, I do love fragrance personally. I respond to fragrance. I like it. And yesterday I had my small Maltese. She's little, so we call her Little. So Little was down at the shop, and she's a mess, and she needed a bath, and I just didn't get to it again, again, again. I didn't get to my own dog. So I just picked up one of the perfumes, and I sprayed her, and all night long, she's laying on the bed, all night long, I was just like, oh, man, this is so pleasant, you know, and I really enjoy that fragrance. And what I like about the iGroom fragrances is that they linger and change and morph into more of the bottom note. I mean, they're really complex fragrances.
Yeah, you're correct.
They're not overwhelming. You know, like you really get a very good hit of the fragrance while you're bathing the dog, conditioning the dog. But when the dog dries, it's not a living air wick. You know, it's not a room deodorizer. You know, it doesn't instantly own the space. It takes its place on the dog. You know, and I like it. I really am enjoying your products, and I have to say I kind of entered into the iGroom thing a little bit skeptical. But I've become a big fan.
Thank you.
You know, I was very skeptical about the detangler, the magic detangler, because it did not have a prominent silicone, and you know I'm a silicone protagonist. I really love the silicones, but you know what? It's one of the best detanglers I have at my table, and it is especially handy at getting out fine coated those spider mats and that kind of stuff out of coats. I love that product. I love the fragrance of that product. It has a yuzu. I don't know if you're familiar with that name of that fragrance, but yuzu is kind of a grapefruit scent, and then the magic detangler has that fragrance, so that captured me right away. Yeah, I like your smells. Good stuff. I like your products. Good stuff. I'm going to send you some suggestions and a little bit more serious notes when I finish, because I only groom a few dogs 3 days a week, it takes me a while to build up, accumulate enough experience with a new product to know what I want to feed back. But I'm so happy that you followed your vision. You know, you are an inspiration to us. You are an inspiration within and without of the industry. And, you know, when I first saw you, I remember seeing you groom in one of those moments when you were the only Asian in the competition. And I watched you groom and I saw your talent, Jennifer. Before you had a lot of trophies, it was in the beginning. I saw you. I recognized your talent. I said, boy, is this genetic or something? Because this woman has got something that I don't have. your talent. I mean, I know what everybody recognized that worked with you, that you've got something above and beyond the normal scope. And it's been, and it's probably because your eagerness to keep on learning. And, you know, this is where we're good friends, because I have that same eagerness to learn about my part of the grooming thing, about what's in the bottle and about how it's marketed and all of that. And I recognize a kindred soul. You are a kindred soul that I appreciate.
Yes.
Don't want to make you cry or anything, but I love you, Jennifer Lee.
Thank you. And Barbara, do you remember you launched that the Bichang DVD? Remember back in years? Yeah, I bought that too. Yeah, I bought that. I still have that. That's like, oh my God. Actually, your that DVD gave me that aha, that moment with the Bichang. Do you remember? Really, I could not figure out how to do that round hat. And like what we always thought is just one circle. But you know, actually what you thought was totally just like, wow, you know, actually going from behind the ear, you know, like that gave me like total, like, yeah, that just, and you know what, I wasn't like really known for Bichang or anything, but still, I think I got placement after that.
I am so honored. Now you have made my day, because I do think that my early Bichon work made a difference at its time, and now I'm gonna cry.
I know. I knew that was coming. That waterworks start. Okay, you guys, both of you.
Two out of three. How about you, Susie?
No, I'm good. But I do think we're probably hitting the end of about an hour and a half, which I totally dig. And I'll I know. I'm going to release it uncut because it's just too good of an interview. I really enjoyed meeting you, Jennifer. I want to meet you in person. I look forward to that. Yeah. And I too will give you some feedback about the shampoos and stuff as soon as I get my wheel back on my trailer and get back out there.
Thank
for
you.
Heaven's sakes. That's really horrible. Yeah, you know, I'm stuck at home sitting here, and what do? I immediately go to Cascade Grooming Supply and buy some Stazco shampoo and a bunch of other stuff. And I'm not even grooming. I spent $200. I'm not even grooming. Alas. All right, guys. Well, thank you, Jennifer, for being here. Barbara, it's all yours. You can.
I get to wrap it up.
You get to wrap it. Yes. Yes.
This has been a wonderful way to spend a Sunday. I didn't have to do any research I have to make the distinction between research and reading. I didn't have to do any deep reading. And I am so happy that we've been able to spend this time together. And I hope everybody has enjoyed this as much as we did. And groomers, see you later, and take care of yourself. Wear your masks. Okay.
Wear your mask.
Happy grooming.
Thank you very much, guys. All right. Be safe, everyone. Thank you.
Happy grooming and wash your hands.
Thank you, Barbara and Susie. And it was a wonderful experience. And again, thank you very much for having me. Yeah, it was my honor.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening, and see you real soon.